Take your Bible, if you would. I have you find one chapter, John chapter 1. The very first chapter of the book of John will be our text this morning. I have two verses that I would like to read to you to begin this message. They're separated by 12 verses. But they are forever unified by the Spirit of God. The Bible says in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word, just say those two words. God. It's interesting in that verse that the word is capitalized. Three times it is mentioned. Normally you would not find the word capitalized unless it was in a title or it was at the beginning of a sentence. But here in the subjects, it's capitalized. Normally, when you see a word capitalized like that, it's a name. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And there, my friends, is how the Bible records the miracle of Christmas. The Word was made flesh. Now I want to speak to you today from this passage and this subject on the Sunday before Christmas, a message entitled, The Miracle of Christmas. It's imperative that you understand this passage if you are ever going to understand the miracle of Christmas. I want you to know at the beginning of the message that Christmas is a time where we celebrate a great miracle. I think it has caught in humanity because as humanity has made its way down through the ages from the birth of the Lord Jesus, we find that there is a special feeling of miraculous around this time. It is no secret in this church that the pastor of this church proudly, unashamedly, sometimes when forced by his wife, watches the Hallmark Channel. Countdown to Christmas, right? So I've been experiencing that a little bit. And a little bit would be a lie, a lot. And a lot of what is presented to us around the Christmas season carries with it the idea of miracle. One of my favorites, Miracle on 34th Street. Anybody ever been to 34th Street in New York City? You've been there? Yeah, it's a beautiful place. You know, you turn on any type of parade or you buy a card or something, and the word miracle finds itself in the Christmas season. And the reason for that is that because in reality, Christmas is about a miracle. And the Apostle John is writing here in a different way than the other Bible, the gospel writers wrote, but in a very purposeful way. And I would turn you to one chapter. Find John chapter 20, if you would, please. I need you to read that to get the purpose of what John is accomplishing here. John does not write about the event of Christmas the way that Matthew and Luke do. Matthew begins his by saying, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother espoused to Joseph was found to be with child of the Holy Ghost, and goes on to tell a little bit about the Christmas story. Luke begins in a very known way and familiar way And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And you know how Luke walks us through the narrative of the birth of the Lord Jesus. John does not write in detail about the event, but he does write in detail about the truth of the miracle of Christmas. And John's presentation of Christmas is deep, and it stretches way back into time. John doesn't just begin with Mary being espoused, and John doesn't just begin like Luke does at that moment of childbirth. John reaches all the way back as far as your human mind could possibly go. I'll show you in a moment. He reaches that far back because he has a very strong and unique purpose in writing the book of John. Look, if you would, at chapter 20, please. Find, if you would, verse number 30. John writes, "And many other signs," you could substitute the word miracles there, "truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written." John went through as the Spirit of God enabled him and pulled moments and independent actions that the Lord Jesus was involved in, that he said, that he did. And these were uniquely qualified by the Spirit of God to accomplish the rest of this verse. "These are written that ye might," say the word, "believe." There's another word that surrounds the Christmas season, is the word "believe." I think Macy's has made a fortune on the word "believe," right? Some of you have helped that fortune in Macy's on the word "believe." "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ," say those next four words, "Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name." Come back to John chapter 1. You know that the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are in harmony. They're not copies of each other as far as word for word. Each one presents the Lord Jesus Christ in a little different way to the world. Matthew, being a Levi, a publican, and a man that was a Jewish man, wrote a very Jewish gospel that presents to the nation of Jews, "Hey, we crucified the King of Glory. Hey, he was here," and presents the Lord Jesus as King. Mark, being a young man and an adventurous young man, presents the Lord Jesus as a suffering servant. He was born to die. You'll hear about that on Tuesday night. John, in his gospel, is laser focused to make sure that Jesus Christ is exalted and presented to you as the Son of God. And he wants him to be presented that way to you because by believing on the Son of God, we can have eternal life through the forgiveness and the salvation that he is. And so John is very, very concentrated and passionate and moved that when you're done reading his book, you have no doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. Luke, before the book of John, is a physician, a doctor. Detailed beyond detail. When you read the book of Luke, you find that the events that he pinpoints a lot have to do with health. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years and other things. And as Jesus moved about as the great physician, Luke was just fascinated at the ability that Jesus had. And so Luke wanted to make sure that when he was presenting the Lord Jesus, that he presented him as the Son of God. Of man. John as the Son of God, Luke as the Son of man. Pastor, why do we need to know this? Come back to John chapter 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. In John chapter 1, verse number 14, John is making sure that you and I understand that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's making sure that you and I understand that the Son of God became the Son of Man. I need you to think that statement in your brain. The Son of God became Son of Man. That's the miracle of Christmas. John goes on in this verse after stating the miracle of Christmas. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There's a parenthesis that comes. And I believe that the Spirit of God moved in the heart of John, and he was very careful in this parenthesis to make sure that you understood something. And we beheld his what, class? His glory. Now, this is a different type of glory than they had beheld in the Roman conquest. This was a different type of glory that they'd ever beheld on any man on the face of the earth. John, by the Spirit of God, very clearly likens this glory as of the only begotten of the who? The Father. Now, you know that phrase, only begotten of the Father. John loved that phrase. Let me remind you of it. It goes something like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. The miracle of Christmas is that the Word became flesh. The Word, capital W, has a name. Look, if you would, please, at the end of verse number 14. He said, as the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Come to verse number 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by, say his name, Jesus Christ. So the Word of verse number 1 that becomes flesh in verse number 14 that John beheld while he was on the earth in all of his glory that came with grace and truth, his name is Jesus Christ. I want to this morning to take us to verse number 14 and join just a moment and behold the Lord Jesus on this Sunday before Christmas. And I want to do it in the order in which John gives it. John says, we beheld him in his flesh. He dwelt among us. This is written from the man that laid his head on the breast of Jesus as he rested. This is written from the man that they knew him in their presence. They traveled with him. They ate with him. They spent nights in villages and homes with him. And they knew the Lord Jesus in his flesh, and they beheld him as the Son of Man. But John says, but in beholding him, we also beheld him in his glory. What glory, Pastor? John, if you remember, was one of the three that went on the Mount of Transfiguration. And there before their very eyes, the inward nature of God began to shine through the flesh and the skin of the Lord Jesus. And he illumined in all of his glory. So powerful was that. They wanted to fall down and worship. They wanted to build altars and things like that. As that in that moment, they got a glimpse of the glory of God. God incarnate in flesh. John says, we beheld him in his deity, and we beheld him in his humanity. For what you need to understand about Jesus, my friend, is that he is the God-man, the perfect blending of God and man. And John begins in verse number 1. And you have to remember his purpose. His purpose is that as you read this book, when you're done and you close the book, you want to say, amen, I believe. I believe that he was in the world. I believe that he came to this earth. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he was buried and rose again. I believe that he is the Son of God. And I believe on his name. And that brings salvation to my soul. But so John reaches all the way back to lay a foundation with the deity of the Lord. And he begins in verse number 1 with 3 words that you're very familiar with. In the beginning. Please tell me what book you're familiar with that. Genesis. But John doesn't just stop at Genesis. John reaches past Genesis and makes a declaration of the eternity of the Lord Jesus. And John says, way back in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse number 2, please. The same was in the beginning with God. And so John is taking back in the deity of the Lord Jesus. And he's letting them know that this man that walked in our midst, this man that we beheld, this man that we beheld in his flesh, this man that we have known before we knew him in his flesh, he was. Now you need to know something. Jesus was not created 2,000 years ago. Jesus has always been. He is eternal God. And he's not the Son of God the way Tommy is my son. He did not come from the loins of God the Father. No, he has always existed eternally equal with God. This is why Paul would write about the Lord Jesus, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We have men on the earth today that think they're Jesus. They're fools. One of them is in Miami. He is a fool who, if he does not repent, will burn in hell after he faces the Lord Jesus. So we have men that want to steal equality with God and speak on that level. But it was not a crime for Jesus Christ to declare himself equal with God, because Jesus is God. Look at verse number 18. No man hath seen God at any time. Wow. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath done what, class? Declared him. So as we behold the Lord Jesus today, we at the beginning we behold his deity. We know him as God. Now watch this so you understand Christmas. He gives another evidence of the deity of God, of the Lord Jesus, in verse number 3. All things were what? Made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So here's where the evolutionist has a problem. Pastor, I believe in evolution. Okay, I'm not your enemy, and you don't have a problem with me, but you have a problem with the Word of God. Because the Word of God says that everything on the earth, including the earth itself, was made by God. John said it was made by Jesus. In the beginning, God created. Somebody tell me how in the beginning God created. He spoke. And when you speak, you use. So the Father willed it. Holy Spirit of God moved it, and the Word created it. So John is after your belief system. And John is wanting you to believe upon the Son of God. His name is Jesus. So he goes all the way back past Genesis into eternity and proves equality with the Lord as the Lord Jesus being God, and even in the as the creator of all things. John said, we beheld him in his glory. When you think about beholding him in his deity and seeing him as God, the miracle of Christmas is you have to behold him, you have to behold him in his humanity. And if you're going to understand his humanity, you have to understand humanity at large. So get this picture. The Word created everything that was made, right? The Bible says that God turned back and said everything that he had made was good. He is the great creator. At Christmas time, the creator entered his creation. That's the miracle of Christmas. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Pastor, how did the Creator enter his creation? Through the womb of a virgin. A baby was born, the Savior of the world. So John says, I want you to know him as the Son of God, but I also want you to know him as the Son of Man. Why in the world would the Word become flesh and dwell among us? Why would God need and be passionate and loving and kind to become part of the creation? Why would he intrude into creation? Oh, verse number 4 tells you that. Look, if you would, please. In him was, say that word, life. And the life was the, circle those two words, life and light, of humanity. So the opposite of life is, and the opposite of light is, so if the Creator needed to invade creation or become part of creation, and the Creator brought with him life and light, then that must mean that creation was absent life and light. Or else why would he come? Notice all the lights. So, Pastor, help me with that. Absolutely. When God created Adam in the garden, and God created Eve out of Adam, they had wonderful fellowship in that garden, wonderful unity. They were righteous in of themselves as far as their creation. They were without sin. It had not inhabited them. God had given them a will. You know the story of the first Adam. The federal head of the human race. I can save you a whole lot of money on Ancestry.com. If you bought that as a Christmas present, you can return it and give that money to the building fund. When you go as far back, you will find everybody in this room goes back to Adam. We all do. Adam, as the federal head of the human race, entered into sin and disobeyed God. Man as a whole is made in the image of God, but you and I were born in the image of Adam. We were born in spiritual darkness and in spiritual death, which is what God said would happen. Adam, if you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then thou shalt surely die. He didn't eat and die physically immediately, but he died spiritually. All death is separation. Immediately he was separated from the presence of God. Immediately he was outside. God ushered him outside the garden after he was redeemed. There was an immediate break of separation there. And as Adam had sinned and transgressed upon God, and death came into the play. Now Adam would physically die. He died spiritually immediately. One day he would die physically. You can read about it. It's a historical fact. The Bible says that Adam, as the federal head of the human race, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. So every man and every woman born after Adam was born spiritually dead and walked in spiritual darkness, walked in the absence of submission to God on their own, in the absence of the knowledge of God. We had to have God reconcile us that way. And so here's God. Picture this now. A man broke fellowship. A man took humanity into sin. There's a Bible verse that says, for the wage of sin is what, class? So sin had to be paid for. And because a man transgressed, there had to be a man to redeem. It could not be an angel. It could not be an animal. It had to be a man. The crime, the punishment had to fit the crime. And so every man born in the image of Adam was born dark, spiritually dark and spiritually dead, separated. We were born in our sin. So there was not a man on the earth at that time that could provide redemption, nor would there ever be another man on the earth that could ever do that. So in the infinite wisdom of God, God looked to the Word and said, I want you to become a man. And just like Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Rod said, where else would a lamb be born but in a stable? And so the Lord Jesus, who is eternal God, put on humanity and the Word became flesh. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Adam, as by one man, took us all into sin. Jesus, by one man, can take us all out. That's the miracle of Christmas. God robed himself in humanity. And the infinite God put himself in the virgin's womb so that he could become a man, live a sinless life, and go to the cross and pay for the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. John said, we beheld him. We beheld him as God in his deity. We beheld him in his humanity. And there's one other part I want you to behold this morning. You have to behold him for yourself. Would you pick up verse number 5? And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now there goes on a testimony here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. You know him as John the Baptist. The same came for a witness. You know what that is. To bear witness of the light, capital L, just like the Word, capital W. That all men through him might, what, class? John, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, speaking of Jesus, that was the true light which lighteth, say those two words, every man that cometh into the world. Think with me. If the Creator had to enter into creation to bring life and light to every man or woman in the world that cometh into the world, That must mean that every man or woman that cometh into the world is absent light and life. Absent spiritual knowledge. Absent spiritual life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, Pastor, Jesus just isn't for me. Jesus is for the whole world. Keep reading. Verse number 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That is not because of ignorance, that's because of will. They knew who he was. They just didn't want to receive him. Follow the writing of John. He came unto his own. And his own did what, class? So you know when Jesus came, he came first to the Jews and presented himself as their king. And in unison, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate said to them, "Well, what do you want me to do with this Jesus of Nazareth, your king? Kill him." Are you sure? Kill him. Crucify him. Kill him dead. He's your king. We have no king but Caesar. And they killed the Prince of Glory. You know, Christmas is a very personal, intimate time. We'll all gather with our own on Christmas Day, whether you like it or not. And the reality is, as you behold the Lord Jesus in his deity, and you understand him as God, and you behold him in his humanity as the Son of Man, which understands humanity at large, you have to behold him for yourself. See, Jesus may not be physically in the world today, but he's absolutely in the world today. He works in your conscience. He's given you the Bible. He's given humanity creation. And he's constantly working in the lives of people. And there is this willful rejection that I don't want him. I don't need him. I don't believe him. Get away from me. Or, like verse number 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you've believed on his name to become a child of God, would you say amen? Amen. So you have to understand the miracle of Christmas. God entered into creation to save you. Jesus Christ is God's gift to you. Well, I don't believe he was in the world. He was in the world. Well, I don't believe he's God. He's God. Well, I just don't think he's graceful and truthful. He's graceful and truthful. But you have to receive the Lord. Pastor, how do I receive somebody I can't even see? Yeah, good question. Awesome question. You don't receive him by your physical sight. You receive him by faith. And you can see him by faith. Watch this. If you've seen Jesus by faith and you know him to be beautiful, say amen. Amen. You see him as he's put in the Word of God. As the Son of God that became the Son of Man. To be the Savior of the world. But you have to open up your heart. Confess yourself a sinner. Understand that he came for you. You have to believe on his name. And you have to personally receive him. Hear this, Pastor, very well. There must be a formal act of faith and reception in your life to receive the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? That just means you don't just sashay through life and say, well, I'm a Christian. There has to be a time where you acknowledged yourself a sinner and you believed upon him and you asked him to be your Lord and Savior. You received him by faith. You acknowledging the deposit of your faith in him alone. The miracle of Christmas is that God was born in humanity. And the miracle of Christmas today is that God is still being born in the hearts of men and women. Is he born in your heart? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, the miracle of Christmas, the Word became flesh. He dwelt among us. Oh man, we beheld Him. We beheld His glory. That was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What love You have for humanity, God. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed, we always give a time of invitation. There's only one item of invitation today. Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith as your personal Lord and Savior? You have been preached what Christmas is about. You have to understand that He is God, became man. You have to see that in the Word of God. He is who He said He is. He is the only one that can give you life, spiritual life, and light in your life. Pastor, I've never formally received the Lord Jesus. Oh, I've given mental assent to it, but I've never confessed myself to Him. I've never believed upon Him. And I don't believe that He lives inside of me. He's not been born in my heart. Then He can today, right where you sit, you can do that. You can ask Him to do that. You could come forward and have one of the men pray with you and help you and lead you. But let the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, become your personal Savior today. It's the miracle of Christmas. It's the joy of the season. It's what brings us hope. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, thank You for Your time today, for our time today. Thank You for the Word of God today that has such power and truth and rings clear like a bell, man. Lord, I know most of the folks in here probably have received You as their personal Savior, but there may be some that have not. They've never humbled themselves. They've never asked You. They've never formally received You. They've never been given the power to become the Son of God, a child of God. They think they're a child of God, but they've never put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. They're trusting themselves or works, not Him. Man, John said, He's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Would You move in our invitation now in the hearts and minds of people? I'll trust You to do that, and thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. We always sing a song of invitation. We always have men here with Bibles ready to help. We have a prayer room right outside here. If you'd like to give your heart to the Lord today and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, we sure would love to help you with that. You can come forward now, and we can go out here and take 5 minutes, take a Bible and show you how to be saved. You can pray in your seat. I hope you'd let us know about that. Lift your voice, church family, and let's sing our invitation. Men of God, be ready to receive the people. 480.
Oh,
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If Christmas has been born in your heart, amen, right? So glad that life and light has been brought to us. Christmas Eve is going to be powerful. It's music, it's narration, it's the candlelight, it's silent night. It starts at 5, should be done at 6 o'clock. If you're planning after things and parties and stuff like that, and you're wanting to know what time you should get there, probably 6:30 if you want to drive like an unsaved person, 6:45 as a Christian. In the lobby, in the back, there is a table that has Christmas cards from our church. My Christmas card is in that for you. I went through the church roll and I gave a card to everybody. It's a picture of our family. It's actually not a bad one. We look good. If you don't have one from me, we don't have your right name, address, something in our computers. That's how we did it. Some of you got cards in here. You've been here a long time this week. Pick your cards up. Take them home today. I'm not mailing them. They raised the stamp money. They're going in the garbage. So get them before Christmas, and you can celebrate all that God has done and the love of the people of God. If you'd like somebody to pray with you after the service, Brother Walker is here. He would love to do that. The first Noel is our song to go out. See you Christmas Eve. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Sing it out now.
God bless you. See you Tuesday.